Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Excited to be back here in the studios and talking to you about what was different and how Walt Disney World has changed probably since your last interaction with the theme parks, the resorts. We're going to talk about how it's a whole different world down in Florida right now, but it doesn't mean it's any worse or any better, just different. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. If you want to help out the show, book your next trip with the great folks over at the Magic for Less. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. That's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And if you want a little extra content in your week, we sure appreciate all of our patrons. We love you guys. You're helping us get through this slow time in travel. Please support the show over there. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1746 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. So glad to be back in the office booking those trips. We're getting folks down to Walt Disney World this fall, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about that this show. It's a whole different world is what we're talking about today, and it's different doesn't necessarily, Pam said it on a Wednesday show, it doesn't necessarily mean better or worse. It's just a little different right now, which was kind of exciting to see my favorite place in a different way and have had to navigate things in a different way, especially when I was traveling for the first time with my daughter, Mallory. Of course, we'd gone many times with our full family and with friends, but it was just her and I on this trip. So we had a good time kind of, I turned a lot of the reins over to her. Because she's been so many times and she ran with it. And we'll talk about that today. But joining me for this conversation, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We're glad to have you back. But it looked like you had such a great time. So, you know, we've chatted a little bit about it. But I can't wait to hear all the details.
Let's get into the deets. And also Monday, we're going to wrap this up with live recordings we had from Walt Disney World each night. We gave our instant feedback on the day as we got back to the hotel. So we have one of those shows heading your way on Monday. But until then, let's recap what we did. So, of course, we went down. Just so you know, we were down there August 5th to the 9th. Arrived on a Wednesday night, Wednesday afternoon about 3 o'clock. And then flew out on Sunday night around 9 o'clock. We'll talk about that on the show, I'm sure. But we got delayed by weather. But, you know, quick little hit to Pop Century. Had a good time. So we're going to, you know, kind of talk about how things are different. I want to kind of hit some major notes off the bat. So real quick, let's hit the resort stay at Pop Century. So when we arrived, we took Magical Express. Magical Express was totally fine. You do have to be prepared because there is a, there's a sign there that says your wait time could be 60 minutes from this point. So that kind of takes your breath away when you first see that. If somebody's gone through Magical Express many times, like, oh, I don't want to wait an hour. I've just been on a plane for 2 or 3 hours. You know, I just want to get it going. I want to be on vacation. Mm-hmm. We got lucky. So we did, you know, we used our Magic Band, scanned in like always. You do have to pick up your own bags from the carousel. We're lucky. Like, we got to the carousel. Our bags were already coming around. Grabbed them, went over to the other side, scanned through. Our bus was waiting. We got on. They told us, you know, they told you where to sit. They said, skip a row, get in. We're loading from the back to the front. As soon as we sat down, took off, Pop Century's first stop, got there. Here was one of the cool things, Pam, and this is why I love Disney. And you know, some people say this stuff has gone away over the last decade, over the last 5 years, what have you. This almost choked me up, okay, because I was super excited to take this trip with Mallory. We'd missed so many things. She missed cheerleading. You know, Cardinal baseball's in the toilet right now, you know, because of COVID. We're not getting, you know, we thought we were going to get baseball games. We're not even getting that. So we were excited to escape. We ride over, you know, we're super excited on the bus talking about everything we're going to do because we don't have ADRs. So we know we're going to the Magic Kingdom on this Wednesday of arrival day. We talk like, what do you want to do? Like, what do we want to ride? Because we don't have any plans. So we're getting all pumped up. Just like, you know, kind of like a first trip. It was really weird. But we get to Pop Century, you pull under the porte cochere, right? the drop-off place. I like to be fancy.
Yes.
And they gave us charcuterie. No, they didn't. You gotta hit the bell. I just had to say it. So we're getting off the bus, the Magical Express bus at Pop Century. Remember, a value resort, mind you. You know, we're not fancy high rollers here. Four or five of the Bell Services folks are standing there, and it is smoking hot. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're cheering us. Welcome back. We're so glad you came back. Thanks for coming. We're going to have the best day ever. They're cheering us. And like this raucous, like it's only four or five guys, but you're under that canopy, so it's kind of echoey. Like it almost brought a tear to my eye because this was like my first step back on Disney property since it had been closed. And I've been missing this so much over the last 4 or 5 months. And they were honestly, I swear, they were genuinely excited to have people getting off that bus, staying at their hotel. I mean, is that not what Disney's about, Pam? I mean, that got everything off on the right foot.
It warms my heart. It truly, truly does. And that's the thing. Sorry, I touched my watch. Did you hear that? Mickey was all excited for me. It really does warm my heart that I think there's so many cast members who are excited to have you back. They love this place. I mean, they love Walt Disney World, which is why so many of them work there and they feel that magic. They breathe that magic. They're part of what makes it so magical. And I love that they're pumped up enough about this to want to see people come back. I mean, really and truly, you know, you really like your job when you see the people coming in to basically make you do your job.
Yeah, totally.
And you're excited about it, right? You're just like, I'm just so pumped to get to do this again. So,
oh, yeah. Awesome. Also, I mean, this is kind of out of order, but as we were leaving, you know, we had our bags, we're waiting for Magical Express, and you know, you go out that exit, you got to go across the way at Pop Century and sit on the bench because the pickup bus is on the other side. LC, he was a Bell Services gentleman from Pop Century working on Sunday, the 9th, from Lansing, Michigan, actually, Scott. He stopped me and he said, hey, come here. So we're, you know, rolling our bags out. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? He's like, I just want to stop you and just say, I hope you had a great time. Really, thanks for coming back. I know this isn't the normal times. He said, thanks for coming back. Hope you had a great time and hope it's not that long until you're back. I'm almost crying right now because he stopped me. Like, he didn't have to. Like, his job was done. Like, he knew another bus was coming in 15 minutes, you know, and they're going to go because everybody's having the beginning of their trip. But it was my last interaction with a cast member before getting on Magical Express and LC. Stop to say, did you have a good time? Thanks for coming. I know that you didn't have to. You know, it was like, and it was hotter than anything. Like, the heat index was over 100 degrees, and they're hauling bags. You know, like, it's a very physically demanding job, yet he took the time, and that stuck with me even till right now. Like, it's like in my heart that he cared enough to say thanks for coming. You know, I mean, it doesn't take much, but that meant the world.
That's awesome. I just love it. I think that that's just further, you know, demonstration of the cast members and how passionate they are to get to do what they do. It's just, you know, it's a special kind of place that inspires that. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's an appreciation. You saw that from your servers. You saw that from PhotoPass. They're just so glad to be doing their jobs, which was awesome.
Yes.
So we talk about the flight, only 70 people down, you know, so you're going to have different things. How's it different? You know, you have more space. You do have to kind of, you know, I would definitely, because kind of the topic of the show is what's different, have, like I said, on Wednesday, have wipes. You'll make yourself feel more comfortable. You can bring actually larger bottles of hand sanitizer now. I think up to 12 ounces. Don't quote me on that. But the little bottles are sufficient. The like 2 or 3 little ounce bottles of Germ-X. Keep that in your pocket. Airport, Orlando International, never seen it as empty. That place is always hopping. Dude, it's empty, but Pop Century, the room, which was different, was the remote was bagged. Everything looks super, but I mean, it always looks super fresh. Like, I didn't notice really a lot different other than the bagged remote, because the room always, you know, sharp, you know, clean, crisp sheets. Bathroom looked great. They did over the body soap and the shampoo and conditioner. There was a little plastic thing that said clean, so you knew, like, you know, people hadn't touched that. But I mean, you know, I was at first like, do I sleep on the pillows and do I use the sheets? I was fine. You know, you get back your first night, you're exhausted, you don't care. You know, like, it, because I mean, it was clean. Like, again, this is how I see things. If people were dropping with COVID from staying in hotels, you would be hearing about it because there's a lot of people in hotels all over the country, all over the world right now. I felt safe. You know, I think it's more of an aerosol thing that you got to be careful of.
Agreed. Yeah, it's not really transmitted through some of the things. There's been a lot of research about how it's transmitted, and I am certainly not an epidemiologist or a contagious medicine specialist, but you know, I think that there's little chance for that in terms of catching it from surfaces and things like that. So
we did go to the Magic Kingdom 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So again, the Magic Kingdom closed at 7, and this is on a Wednesday. It was weird because we were the only people on the bus going over. We got a private bus from Pop Century, Mallory and I. We met up with Scott and his family at the Magic Kingdom. Walking up, there's nobody at the touch points. We walked right through there. I mean, I see all these pictures with nobody in front of the train station for our selfie. Just low crowds if you go mid-afternoon and just kind of close out the park. It was amazing. Got to see one of those little character cavalcade floats go by in Frontierland. Those are pretty sweet. You know what? It's nice because it doesn't interrupt a big chunk of your day, and you get to see the characters like a little taste of a parade every now and then. It's kind of like the same with like dieting. If you snack throughout the day, you don't get hungry. Like you don't like almost like a full parade right now. Seems like you're gorging yourself, you know, like just get a little hit every now and then and you're going to be, you know, your day is kind of more complete. I like that idea. I don't know how you see it, Pam.
But I think it's neat. Love this. Are you kidding me? First of all, I don't have to get there and stand for an hour
and bake.
Or sit on the curb for an hour, and then I still get to see some of the characters. And by the way, they've been pulling out some awesome characters for this, and not only the types of characters that they have, but the things that they have the characters doing. Like, first of all, you know, not just a character cavalcade, but like Winnie the Pooh, like frolicking in the field with his butterfly net, and Joy from Inside Out doing the same kind of thing. And then to have Merida from Brave or Gaston riding a horse. Like, those are things we didn't get to see prior to this. And again, this is a great example of an opportunity. Like, Disney took this opportunity and they were like, I'm sure there are meetings about it. And they were like, okay, our guests want to somehow interact with the characters. We want to do it safely, figure out how to do it. And they
And they nailed
it. And it's a plus. It's like plussed up in my book.
So. Yeah, these have to stay. Because, I mean, they're getting just rave reviews all over the place. And it was like, it was great because, like, we heard it. We were just walking through Frontierland from, I think we went on Haunted Mansion. We were heading back to Splash and Big Thunder. And here, you know, we heard the music. Here it comes. And the thing was, we just, like, stopped. It passed us literally in 1 minute. We got a bunch of good pictures. It was Mickey and Pluto on a float with music and a few dancers in the front, a few dancers in the back. And bam, like in 2 minutes, like we had pictures. We had, you know, we waved to Mickey. We saw Pluto. Right. We saw some dancers and we were on our way. Like, it was great. It was amazing.
It was great. And they do interact with you.
They do. Totally.
It's not just a vague waving out to the crowd. Like, you know, Disney characters are the best at this. They like pick people out and make you feel as if you've been personally waved to. So anyways, it's awesome.
Agreed. And so we just, you know, we did a ton of rides that day. Hardly any waits. You know, no issues. Like, you're just not close to anybody on any ride. Splash Mountain, you're on your own log, or you have somebody way in the back. Big Thunder, like every other row. Just you've all seen that stuff, so we don't really need to get into that. But, you know, I felt totally comfortable. But it was just like, it was like a kid in a candy store, because it was our first day. We're at the Magic Kingdom with no waits. Like, it was, I couldn't believe it. Like, we walked on Space Mountain. I'd heard people say they had done that. And I don't know how long this is going to last, because obviously everybody listened to this show, everybody listened to all the other shows, seeing all the social media stuff. Everybody's going to try to get down there, which I would encourage you to do. But it was unreal. Like, I had the biggest smile. Like, I cannot, like, I'm like stealing. Like, I'm going on Space Mountain without waiting an hour and no fast pass. It's crazy. So I will say, the thing that's different though is that day we had Scott scheduling. He texted me as we were on Magical Express, like, what are you going to do for dinner tonight? And I was like, oh, I was going to pick up some counter service somewhere. He's like, well, I made an 80 yard Liberty Tree Tavern for us if you want to come. I was like, well, yeah, Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. So I met, we all went to and ate at Liberty Tree Tavern because people were asking about like what the meals look like. They don't book all the tables. They socially distance all the tables. And what was interesting, Joe Laszlo had told me this before I went down. We actually ate dinner over in the Diamond Horseshoe Review building next door. Like, they're seating there to get more space. So we had nobody around us. There were like six maybe of the tables in that whole big area eating at the same time, the very end of the night. Sandy was our server. Scott had her before in the trip. This is her second time he had her. She's awesome. So shout out to Sandy. I know she listens to the show now. Hope you're having a good time over at Liberty Tree. We will get a public sub. She keeps telling us to get a public sub. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, meal was great. Food was great. Quality was great. What's interesting, though, is that they are, what's different is they're training servers. Like, she was training a server, but it's not like a new server. He had worked at Cinderella's Royal Table for 20 years, but it's just a new venue for him because he's not, that's not open right now. So you are, and again, what I'm seeing is, and I don't know, Pam, if you have any info on this, you know, with your connections with Disney, but obviously we don't have college program going on. We don't have the cultural exchange program going on. So what you're seeing is a lot of people that have been there a lot of years. Like, you're seeing full-timers that are really good at what they do everywhere is what I was noticing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there is just a lot of cast members that have been with the company for forever. Mm-hmm. They've seen this kind of thing. And I think they got to, you know, the first cast members that were called back were sort of, it was a voluntary callback, right? Like, people signed up to do it. So these are people who have a true investment in this company. And I think that they love what they do and they know how to do it. So
absolutely. And so here's the first thing that hit me about what's different in Walt Disney World was when we, you know, we got out of there to, like I said, like 8:30, the park closed at 7:00. We had that last ADR. We lingered. We just wanted to take we took so many pictures at the castle and at the partner statue because, I mean, it was so weird. We were the last ones in the park walking out and it wasn't dark. You know, like, that's weird. You know, like, when do you get to be the last one in the park when it's light outside? It was like we're living in the Twilight Zone. So after we got on that bus and private bus again back to Pop Century, Mallory and I, again, it was like 9:00. But the problem, here's something to think about at Pop Century. All three pools at Pop Century close at 9:00. So we couldn't do like a swim like we used to, like maybe till midnight. You know, it used to be like, right, go home, you know, it's hot, get home from the park, do a little, you know, a little 30-minute dip to kind of cool down before bed. Couldn't do it. Pools closed at 9:00. So we're like, it wasn't 9:00 yet. It was like 8:45. It was like 8:30, 8:45. It wasn't enough time to get in the pool. So we're like, what do? We don't want to go to bed at 9:00. Even me. I mean, I'm, mm-hmm, you know, I'm old. Like, I go to bed early, but I didn't even want to go to bed then. So Mallory never been on the Skyliner. So we're trying to find something to do. So being at Pop Century, we just hopped the Skyliner and we took it all the way to Caribbean Beach, transferred and went to Epcot. We did run into one issue. Epcot closed right as we got there. So there was kind of a long line at the International Gateway, but it goes fast. It took like 15 minutes. Mallory's like, oh, you just got us in a long line. I was like, yeah, I did. But it went fast. We had nothing else. Like I said, what else are we going to do? So we got back in line and took it back. We got off at the Riviera, walked around the Riviera again. That's an opportunity because, again, Mallory hadn't seen the Riviera Hotel and she's like obsessed with it. I don't know why. She just loves the way it looks. She's like all into like style and fashion and stuff. And so,
because Pam Forrester has rubbed off on that.
Exactly. Thank you. You're going to cost me so much money. I try to train my kids at the All-Stars and Pop Century Rock. And then you're all the Riviera stuff and Scott too. So thanks. So anyway, yeah. So, but I mean, the thing is like, you got to look for like little ways to fill in, you know, these times. And so what we did, we walked around the Riviera. We, you know, kind of looked at that stuff, but also it gave her an opportunity. If you go to the Riviera and you're just kind of hopping from Pop Century Caribbean Beach, they have that loading area at the Riv where it has that like Instagrammable walls of like Tangled and is it Frozen and Peter Pan, you know, those arches. And she got a huge kick out of that. That was kind of neat to
Tangled.
Do. I mean, yeah.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. I mean, you got to look for things like that. I mean, because she wouldn't, in a normal trip, we wouldn't have taken the time to go to an Instagram wall. But we had nothing else to do. You know, you got to find something to do before bed. We had fun riding the Skyliner. It's like a ride. She got to do some Instagram pictures, got to see the Riviera Tour Resort she'd never been to, look at the pools, you know, and it was fun. I mean, you do got to be creative in that, though.
Yeah, for sure. And again, every time we get to experience Disney, we're looking to do different things. And we always are telling people, slow down. If you do slow down, you'll take the opportunity to get to do some things that you've never done before, or that you've always wanted to do, or that you've wanted to spend more time doing. And I think this is sort of a forced slowdown for all of us, right? I mean, this really was, Disney didn't always stay open really late. It was, it was a way that it sort of used to be. And I think that it's really interesting that so many people are getting to experience this.
It is. It's for Disney fans, it's a historic time to get down there and to see how things are different. So
Yeah.
You know, that's that. Okay, so the next morning I get up to run, my first run on Thursday morning. So here's how that's different. At Pop Century, you can't run all the way around Hourglass Lake. It is, there's a wall at each end after the, you know, where you would go from Pop Century to Art of Animation at both ends. So I just made a loop. You can look up, if you're a runner, you can look up my run keeper. I just like would veer out into the parking lot. And there's no, you know, the parking lots are virtually empty. There's not a lot of cars in them. So I just run the perimeter of the parking lot. I ran from the very end of the path all the way back to the 90s telephone and ran back and then did the same. I'd run to the Little Mermaid rooms. By the way, it looks like they're remodeling the Little Mermaid rooms. I'm guessing like Pop Century, maybe. There's a lot of stuff going on over there. So you can still get your
miles. You're starting a rumor.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. There were stickers in the windows, I'm just saying.
Right.
And I didn't get caught. So that was different. So something to think about. I did 9 miles each morning. So you can, even without the path being open, you can get creative and get your miles in no matter how many training miles you have. The next morning, I talked about the boarding group story on Wednesday show. Mm-hmm. Skyliner, get there early. That's something you got to think about if you're going over to the studios. I got to do Mickey. No spoilers, so don't worry. I got to do Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway for the first time.
Cool.
What do you think?
Right.
I didn't know if I was going to like it because, again, I love the Great Movie Ride. I was a bitter Betty, but I liked it. It was neat. It was a really cool. We did it twice. I liked it.
They did such a good job with it. It just, first of all, it doesn't feel like you're in the same attraction, right?
No. Well, the second Scott got me on this one because he's like, after I wrote it the first time, then I'm trying to figure out like where I am in the old building. You know, like, am I in the gangster scene? Am I in the big ending scene? Like, what room am I in? You know, am I in the Wizard of Oz room? Like, and then I was like, oh man, but you know what? I found it. Well, I don't want to give it a spoiler. We'll wait a while, but I found something I think tied back to the Great Movie Ride pretty clearly. Okay. But it was neat.
But I think they just did. It just was enchanting, I think, is the way I think about that attraction, that it's so much better than I thought it would be. And I liked it so much more than I thought I would. So absolutely. It's one of my favorites now. I want to do it again and again. So
another thing that's different is I didn't know how I would feel about getting pictures because you got the mask on, right? You're wearing underwear on your face. Like, you know, like, how much do I want to have a picture of me and Mallory and, you know, my buddies and everything? Like, we all got these things over our face. Like, you can't smile. I mean, you can. Mallory swears, you smile with your eyes now, Dad. Like, you can see by your eyes if you're smiling or not, which I guess maybe you can, maybe you can't. But there's photo pass opportunities all over the place, especially if you're an AP holder that's built into your cost. We got a lot of amazing photo pass shots from our photographers because, again, in a pandemic, you have an opportunity. For example, the day we were at Animal Kingdom, just jumping ahead a little bit, we had this photographer. He was so excited to take our pictures, was asking us all the questions, where we're from and all that, just wanted to talk. But the thing was, he told us, he's like, you're never going to get this picture again, so get ready. We're in front of the Tree of Life. There's all five of us, Mallory and I, Scott, Elizabeth, and Emily. He said, put your arms out 6 feet, like as far as you can, and spread out. There was nobody behind us. There's nobody in the picture. And all six of us are stretched out as far as we can get, like socially distanced. It's a picture that denotes the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look back, like, why do you have your arms out and you got all that space between you? Because we were social distancing at Animal Kingdom and there's nobody in the shot. So I think, do stop, because if you don't like the pictures, who cares? You know, just don't use them. But we got some really, really good shots, even with the masks on. Because I was kind of curious about that. I don't know how you feel, but like, do I want to remember this? Do I want images? But I'm glad we did.
It is. It's a moment in time, and it's what was actually going on at that time. And again, I think that this is another opportunity that Disney sort of embraced because they do have some new photo pass shots out there. And I love to see that, too. And the other thing that I think is really cool is in all those shots where, like, you would stand there and then, like, the camera would, like, zoom in on you. It shows the overall crowd and that. So interesting to see people who are comparing and contrasting those to ones they had taken just a few months ago. Totally. You see the crowds, you see the lack of crowds at this point. So that's really cool.
So real quick, because I was going to do this at the top of the show, but I made sure that they were listening at least 25 minutes in. I got to give a shout out to my guys that I met at Pop Century, Danner and Ryder from Oklahoma and their mom, Jenny. They were down there and having a great time. Jenny said they had a blast, you know, at the pool. She actually, let's see if I can find her comment she put in here earlier. She said probably one of the most productive and relaxing Disney trips her boys and she had ever had. They did all of Epcot and Animal Kingdom in about 4 or 5 hours each, then had swim time at the pool. That's exactly it. I mean, you think short park hours, like, oh my gosh, I'm only going to get a quarter of the stuff done. Without crowds, you get so much done so fast. You're just like, what do I do now? You know, it is kind of crazy. It's a good point. So I'm glad they had a good time. Thanks for listening down in Oklahoma. But here again, what's different? I always like hug people, you know, when I meet them for the first time, handshake. You know, I felt awkward when I met these, you know, I met a few listeners throughout the trip. And it was like, it's so awkward because I don't want to invade anybody's bubble. You know, it's like, hey, how you doing from over here? You know, thanks for listening to the show. I mean, it's that world we're living in. But I do appreciate everybody that came up and said hello. That was awesome. And if it was awkward, I'm awkward anyway. But in the middle of a pandemic, I'm super awkward. So that's how that went. Oh, we did see the new Disney Orchestra Society show at Beauty and the Beast Theater. It was good.
I know, right? It reminds me of the definitely when they were doing those Pixar concerts, well, for
kinda.
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of that light. There's no video, but and I think I think it might be also called the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra.
Right? Yeah, I think so too.
Because I've noticed a couple of people, but and they did have this again, sign of the times. So they did bring out Lumiere and Cogsworth and Mrs. Potts and Chip. They had very elementary dance moves. And you're there for the music. Let's be honest. Okay. You're not there for some great choreography.
These were people who were transformed into objects you find around the house. They are not known for their dancing.
I'm just saying the choreography, I think, might have been like shake your right leg twice, shake your left leg twice, and spin around. Like, it wasn't very, I think I could have done it. That'd have been actually a dream of mine. I could have been, Mallory said, you should have been Lumiere and gotten out there and done the moves because you could have handled that. So that tells you it can't be complicated. Now, at the very end, they did have Beauty and the Beast there. This where I was so, it's such a sign of the times, though. They never did get within 6 feet of each other. They kind of blew kisses at each other and kind of like looked at each other. It was so awkward, you know. But I mean, we're in an awkward time again. Like, they're not allowed to, but it was like, dude, kiss. But you can't even get within 6 feet. So it was kind of crazy. But they played Be Our Guest while I was in there. It was so weird. So weird. But the shows, if you like music, it's always great to have live entertainment. I loved it. It was so much fun. Let's see here. What else? We went to Animal Kingdom the next day. Again, with the characters, those characters on the boats are even better than the character cavalcades at the parks. Like, those characters at the boats, like, you're just walking maybe from like Africa to Pandora and you hear music all of a sudden and all you gotta do is kind of peek down. And the fun thing is, like, it was Chip and Dale in their dinosaur costumes that were all the rage before the pandemic, and Goofy was on the boat too. They do, like you said, they wave to you. Like, you get a personal interaction. You can even get a selfie with them if you're ready. Get ready.
That's awesome.
And there's music and all that stuff. So I really enjoyed that. Again, got the boarding, or we did pan. I got messed up. I didn't mention this, but Smuggler's Run messed me up this time because, again, it was just our group of five. So we got the whole car, the cockpit. We got to go wherever we wanted. I'd always been an engineer, never been anything else. And this thing had never bothered me. So I thought this time, Mallory, she'd never done it. So we let her be Chewbacca. She got to be front right and make the jump to light speed. I went left and I got to be Rey or Han Solo, whatever era you are. So it was Mallory and I were the pilots. Oh, dude, I had a migraine for 48 hours after that. And Pam, you said you mentioned that maybe the motion gets you more. Because I thought it would be better if you're in control of stuff. That thing was crazy. I had a headache for 48 hours after that at the studio.
I know. So I have heard, I think everyone is certainly different, but for me, who does have challenges with motion sickness, I will say, like on Star Tours, I can't really do it anymore. I love it and I can't do it. And it breaks my heart because there's hardly anything I like more than Star Wars, but you know, it's one of the things I can't do. And there are other attractions like that that I can't do. For me, being the engineer is actually the best place for me to be because when you're the engineer, you have things that you can focus on the wall next to you. You're busy things.
Dude, I was looking at
right. Right. Pilot, you have to be watching the screen the whole time. And that's why I decided, you know what? I'm not even doing the pilot thing. And I'm happy to watch other people do it because I know they get a kick out of it. But for me, just being in the engineer, I can look at the screen when I want to, when things are feeling good. And then when I need to turn away, I absolutely can. So for me, it's the interaction with the screen and the movement that gets me more than anything else.
Yep. Same thing. Like, I'll never be the pilot before. I got to do it once now. I said it, but I paid for it. And you got to know your body. So that what I'm getting back to is we went to Animal Kingdom and I'd never seen the Flight of Passage queue, you know, because I'd always fast passed it the few times I'd done it. So everybody wanted to ride it. So I just walked and it was real nice. You just walk through, you know, when they get on the Banshees, I walked right through and went out and met them in, you know, 10 minutes because the opportunity was there to do that because the queue was just constantly moving. I didn't have to wait. I liked the queue, but it wasn't worth waiting 4 hours to see the queue. I was never doing that. But when was I ever going to get to do that, you know, standby line with, you know, a 10 minute wait? It was crazy.
Right.
So take that opportunity if you get it. Let's see what else we got. That cool picture. I will say the PhotoPass guy outside of the Animal Kingdom, as we got to the park where you can get your picture, like with the Animal Kingdom entrance behind you. This is where wearing masks and hats and sunglasses kind of throw people off. He thought my daughter and I were a couple. That was awkward. You know, we're like, nope, that's my daughter. She's 12. I know she's super tall and we have on masks. And so, yeah, you're going to get that. We were scared to death that we were going to get like a magic shot on PhotoPass that had like a heart or like true love or something over our heads. That was the joke. I was watching the whole day when that was going to come through. So, yeah, I was worried about that. Santuli Canteen, always solid. Cheeseburger pods are back. And so I got a cheeseburger pod and a chicken bowl. That was good. That was fun. The next day was Epcot. So what was different? We went over to Olivia's for breakfast, got an ADR. I think it was for like 9 or something. People were asking, is the patio open at Olivia's? Yes, it was. We ate on the patio at Olivia's. It was beautiful. It wasn't hot. It was early in the morning, shaded. There was a breeze. But again, very limited menu. I think you got to be aware of that your favorite dish, like you might get in your favorite restaurant, but you definitely may not get your favorite dish right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that restaurants across our country and probably the world are struggling with trying to keep their costs low, especially when they have limited capacities. Most people don't know, and maybe a lot of people do, but restaurants typically run very close to the profit margin to begin with. They don't have a ton of profit margin because they have a huge overhead in terms of not only employee costs, but also space and food and everything else. So one of the ways that they can reduce some of their costs is take off some of those menu items that maybe utilize items that aren't used by any other item on the menu. Yep. And so that means that they're cutting down and looking for ways to do different things, and it only makes sense. So I think that's probably what you ran into a little bit with that. And we'll probably see that for a while. But I think all of us, I don't know if you're in the same boat that I am, I'm just so happy to be somewhere where someone else is making my food and bringing it to me and seems happy to be like having dinner with me in a way. So love it. So love that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like I told Scott, it's like it's a Saturday morning. It's 9 o'clock. We're on a patio in Florida. I mean, Old Key West is just, it's like, seriously, when you look out from the patio at Old Key West, it looks like a postcard. It doesn't even look real.
For sure.
With the lighthouse and the palm trees and the bridge and the water and everything. And you know, I'm sitting here and I'm still having like cheesy scrambled eggs, breakfast potatoes, a biscuit, bacon and sausage, and I could have had pancakes. You know, I just in the past, they had like a bigger menu on Saturday mornings, like a, you know, like a brunch option. But I mean, I get it. You know, the restaurant isn't as busy, but it was still like I was in heaven. I was eating out for breakfast. It was great. So I just want people to be aware of that because we're talking about things that are different. Food and wine over at Epcot. Once we got there, again, real quick, what's different? Scott and I had this conversation many times because it was really hot the last 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. I mean, it was the heat index of like 110 to 115 as we had looked down in the afternoon. I mean, this is like serious hot. And remember, you're wearing underwear on your face. So the whole thing is we had this discussion like, why is this getting us so much? Because it wasn't necessarily the masks. And what we came back to is we normally get to Epcot at 9 a.m. or usually 8:30 to be ready to go at 9 a.m. We knock out Future World and, you know, maybe Mexico, maybe a little Canada, UK, maybe back to France, and we're out, you know, like, and then we come back in the evening, you know, say at 6 and have a dinner, maybe one fast pass and watch some fireworks. That's we're never in a park. I'm not kidding. I am never in a park like between 1 and 5. We just don't do it in the summer. We're swimming. I'm napping usually. We're just not in the heat of the day. But kind of with these shorter park hours and with an 11 o'clock park opening at Epcot on a Saturday, like, you're kind of forced to be there in the heat of the day, which is, you got to consider that, you know, especially for this time where it's going to be hot. I mean, it definitely made me miss the traditional park hours. That is something I do miss because in 11, I get why they're doing it. But if you're getting to Epcot at 11 o'clock, man, it's already smoking hot before you even go through the touch point.
It makes sense. I mean, that is, it's a different way of touring. You really are sort of in the middle of it. I think the trade-off for that is some of the things that you've mentioned is that you can pretty much get the park completely done in a reasonable amount of time,
yes.
Which I think I'm so jealous of the people that are there and just getting so much done. So,
and what we found out too is you got to, again, be smart about what you're doing. So we stopped and watched the Mariachi Cobre, which I love Mariachi Cobre, the mariachi band from Mexico. They're performing at the American Gardens Theater, the big theater, you know, back in America. So we watched one of their shows. Then we immediately after that, the Jammeters, which I forget, they have a new name for the Food and Wine Festival or something. They have like a food theme. Still same guys. We watched their show. The girls went and got a kakigori down in Japan. So we cooled off that way. We were in the shade. We were watching live entertainment. We had snow cones, basically. So while we weren't going back and having a midday break, we were out of the sun for a good 30, 40 minutes with live entertainment and eating snow cones. So that's kind of how we did. Also, we were snacking around World Showcase, which, again, the rule is you can't walk around and eat and drink at the same time. So you get your item. Like, I got the bao buns and some other thing, a dumpling at China, and we just sat down at a bench, ate it pretty quickly, then moved on. So that's not ideal, but it's what you got to do. But then we decided we needed some AC, so we went down to the cantina at San Angel, and we just got like chips and guac and, you know, little like appetizer things. But we got fountain sodas, and you guys hopefully know that when you go to the cantina at San Angel, you can eat inside. You know, you don't have to eat out in that gazebo outside. There's a door there that takes you into the indoor restaurant. There's seating in there too. Go in there, catch some AC, and kind of get your wits about you, then go back around World Showcase. We did that. So that's something different.
I think you need to avoid all of your hot weather techniques.
Yes.
And that always is something that we've advised guests to do. So do something outside, then go inside for a while and cool down. Like, don't let yourself get overheated. I think that's where you get into trouble, is by keeping up with it, staying on top of it, hydrating, seeing a show, watching a movie, all those things, especially when you're walking around World Showcase, that's the way to do it. So,
but Teacher Likes Books here in the YouTube, she has a great, great point that is, this is something you could have never done before. She said, you know, was it great to sleep in and still make rope drop? I mean, you can think about that. You can make rope drop and sleep for Epcot, especially the studio is just different with getting there for the boarding groups. But I mean, 11 o'clock, you could sleep till 10 and still be there in plenty of time.
I know, right? I mean, this was made for Ricky in so many different ways,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Even then, I'm not sure that she would make it at rope drop, but she'd be a heck of a lot, you know, closer to it than she used to. So, yeah, absolutely. It lets you have the best of both worlds. And I bet you more people are visiting their resort pools than ever before. And the thing is, the overall attendance is so low at this point that even if everyone is visiting the pool, you still don't feel like you're packed in like you did. So love that aspect of it.
So, you know, I don't want to go too long on this because we're going to, you know, finally wrap it up on Monday with the live stuff while we were there. But, I did miss park hopping. I did miss the normal hours because I just have my decade plus kind of plan. Like, you know, I always know the Magic Kingdom will open at about 8 or 9, depending on extra magic hours. And so I know when it's Magic Kingdom Day, we're doing this. We're going to be out by noon. We're going to be back at the hotel. And then we're going to. What I really miss too, besides park hopping, is just being in a park at dark. That's what I kept telling Scott. I love the studios with all of its neon. I love the Magic Kingdom with the neon palm trees in Tomorrowland. And I just love the background loop more at night for some reason. Frontierland is magical at night. Epcot, you know, everywhere is just more fun at night. And there was just, I mean, there was literally no opportunity to be in a park at, you know, at dark in August. You can't do it. It's so weird.
I know. I think that you have to find those opportunities at the resorts and take them there. That is one of the things that we've lost, the nighttime shows and that nighttime sort of, you know, opportunity to be in the parks with the lights and everything that Disney does so well at night. It's just one of the things that we're just not able to have right now. And I think it's totally normal to want that. I hope that somehow they're going to be able to figure out how to do this in different ways. And I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure what that looks like. Are there opportunities to have some parks open later and some parks open earlier? You know what I mean? So that you could have one park that would be open later into the evening. I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how Disney moves forward with this.
You know, Scott and I were trying to, you know, come up with theories as to why, you know, there's no parks open at dark. Obviously you want to have shorter hours. It helps. And they have the staggered closing. So just like the staggered openings, they have 8, 9, 10, and 11. They also have closing times of 6, 7, 8, and 9 for different parks. Mm-hmm. And that helps the transportation and all that. But also we had a theory, we don't know if this is true or not, but if your park is not open when it's dark, you're probably not getting as many casual guest inquiries on like where are the fireworks or where's the parade, because people aren't thinking about fireworks and parades when it's still light outside, possibly. You think?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe they are, but maybe it is just in terms of like cast staffing too, that I'm sure it's probably easier to get people to work what we all consider more normal work hours than it is, you know, to extend into the evening. I don't know. And I think that it's easier just to keep that area. You have a better opportunity at seeing how people are interacting with each other when there is light too.
That's so true. That, yeah. Cause we also said, is it like something with the mask? Like, is it easier to like enforce the mask policy when it's easier to see people? I don't know.
Right. I don't know either. It'll be interesting.
John has a good, you know, John's listened to the show forever, and I sure appreciate him always being with us for years and years. And he says, and I agree with this, it's a good point. He says, Disney without fireworks is like a really nice dinner without dessert. And you know what? But here's where we are in 2020 is the fact is, mm-hmm. I'd really like to have that really nice dinner, even if I don't get the dessert at this point, because I've been eating peanut butter and jelly for 5 months.
Well, and the other thing is, too, I get to have a really nice dinner with courses that I probably didn't even have the opportunity to sample because I'm getting on everything. So that means I get to order it all. Like, do you know what I mean? Because you get to experience so many things and you have so much of it. But yeah, I agree. I mean, look, I have 100% been known to very much go to a park, avoid it during the day, and show up for fireworks because that's one of the my favorite parts of it. The ending to that day, I think, is spectacular. So I'm definitely going to be missing that.
That's a great point. I mean, it's a great point. I mean, would you give up the great dinner if you're not getting dessert? Yeah, I mean, it does kind of leave you at the end like a little bit longing for more, but I mean, you had a good experience anyway, something you weren't going to get otherwise. So that's a great way to put it. Now I need dessert. I'm getting it today. No. So, you know, we're going to wrap this up. We're going a little bit long, but Pam, you know, kind of is, we are in a whole different world. And like we said, better in a lot of ways, worse in some ways. I want to park hop. I want to be in the parks at night. I don't want to be in a park at 3 o'clock in the afternoon ever in August, but you know what? I did it. We didn't. There were times I thought I might die, but we didn't. We made it. I probably lost 3 pounds in sweat. You know, I think you just have to be flexible, and especially for, you know, Disney fans that have been many, many times, you have to be willing to try different strategies. You know, like you said, lean on the stuff you know, but also say that sometimes those tried and true tips aren't going to work all the time now.
No, so first of all, the tips aren't as important as they used to be. No. All the strategies for avoiding crowds and all of those other things probably aren't needed as much as they used to be. They just aren't. So that's something that's good. There's a casualness, I think, to it now without FastPass, without the scheduling. So many people were not fond of that. And I think this gives you an opportunity to sort of, again, enjoy the parks the way that they sort of used to be, with lower crowds and without fireworks. Because when we first started going to the Disney parks, I will say, I mean, as an adult, that there weren't fireworks every night. There truly were not. That was a rarity. It happened maybe a couple times a week. It just wasn't something that was done every day. So that's cool. I think that The other thing you get to see is the ability to move from attraction to attraction and get them done. Mm-hmm. That's a huge plus in so many ways. So, and you know, at the end of the day, this is where we are. You're absolutely right. This is the way we have to do it if we want to do it right now. And I'm pretty sure I want to do it this way, regardless of what else is going on. So.
I don't want to wear a mask, but if it means I got to wear a mask to be down there, yeah, I'll wear a mask.
100%.
Sign me up. You know, right. It was fine. Like the whole thing, we had this discussion many times because Scott and I, we think a lot alike. You know, we have these deep, we're huge Disney fans. We talk about this stuff all the time. Like, when I was on a ride, I never even knew I had a mask on. Like, I was so engaged with the experience, whether I was on Jungle Cruise or Rise or, you know, Toy Story Mania, trying to be, you know, Mallory in the car at the game. You know, it didn't matter. Space Mountain, I didn't even know I had a mask on. I did know when I was walking around Epcot, you know, just kind of strolling around, like, and out in the sun. But when I was inside, you didn't notice. I mean, it does go away. And I do not, you know, I'm not somebody that's had one on for the last 5 months because I don't leave the house. So I'm a good barometer on the tolerability of a mask. It was fine. Aaron did bring a good point real quick in the live chat that said the social distancing lines are a big plus because you do have a physical reminder to stay away from the people in line and you're not getting ridden up on all the time. That was huge plus. So I agree with that. So I say, if you don't have health, obviously you wouldn't want to travel right now if you have any health concerns or if you're very nervous. I wouldn't want anybody to go down and be nervous the whole time because you do have signs reminding you of social distancing. You do have signs to keep your mask on all the time. I mean, if you're somebody that's really focused on that and worried about that, you are going to see it. I'm very laid back. I didn't even notice the signs after a while. I was glad to be out of the news cycle for 5 days and back to riding a log on Splash Mountain or to be on Space Mountain on a rocket or Astro Orbiter with my daughter behind me. Like I was screaming and yelling like a 12-year-old. I was having a great time. And that's really what this place is all about. It was positive. Honestly, if I could, I'd go back next week, you know, because I was like, that's the whole thing is I wondered how I'd feel at the end of the trip. Like, did I force it? Because again, sometimes we force things, you know, like I really, really want to do this. I want to like it and I'm forcing it. I would go back. I mean, it was so much fun. I would encourage people to give it a shot if you can, especially if you listen to the show and you're on the fence. Maybe don't book the, you know, 10-night stay like you do or the 7-night stay. Go a long weekend, 4 nights. That's all we did. And we got everything done. We did all 4 parks, Magic Kingdom twice. We didn't go to Disney Springs, but I hate to shop. My wife wasn't with me, so I saw that as an opportunity. I didn't have to do it. So it was great. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Just a whole different world. It truly is different, not being in the parks at night. No, but I liked not having fast passes. I liked it. I wouldn't like it if the parks were at capacity, but I liked it for now. It was great.
Yeah, so. I agree. And we're missing. There's so many of us that are missing that. Travel experience for one reason or another and missing the Disney experience. So thankfully those of us who are here domestically can still experience it in one way or another. It's just going to be a little bit of a modified experience, but again, there's pluses and minuses to that. So I loved hearing your firsthand experience.
All right. A little bit more on Monday. We'll see. Mallory chimes in on her first Rise experience. What surprised her, what she thought of the Skyliner, what were her thoughts on staying at Pop flying down as a kid. She has some really good insight. She's a really, again, it's really weird. Pam, real quick, you probably noticed this with Hannah, is that like all of a sudden, because they've had all these experiences like babies and toddlers and elementary age kids at the parks, because she's traveled there a ton. So did Hannah, even more than Mallory. But all of a sudden, it's like she's almost like a mini like travel planner at this point. Like she knows the system so well. I was like, oh my God, it's like scary. At 12 years old, she has the perfect day planned. You know, it's weird. She sounded like Hannah.
It's true though. They definitely have opinions about how they want their day to go.
It was funny. So yeah, you'll hear about her on you'll hear her thoughts on things on Monday. So don't forget, if you want to head down whenever you're ready, it doesn't have to be this fall, but the fall is a great time to go. I'm just telling you, it's fun. This is a historic time to get down there. You're missing some things, but you make up for things in other ways. So just drop by the magicforless.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools. Check out your resort course, limited resorts right now, but we can move into 2021 if you want to hold off a bit. Plan your trip, but really it does help us. We help support the show, help support my family. Honestly, we're a small business. We're just trying to keep everybody going here. And that's one thing about there. We talked about the employees down at Walt Disney World. They're so excited to have you there to take your picture. If you're a PhotoPass photographer, if they're a server, they were excited to serve you your meal. 50's Primetime, we had a great server that was serving it up. It's the same way over at the Magic for Less. All the travel planners on the team, we're so excited to help you plan that next trip. Because again, let's be practical. A lot of us have had a little bit of slow times here over the last 4 or 5 months with a lot of the destinations closed. We're excited when we get to plan a trip. We want to help you, give you all the tips, give you all the advice to help you have an amazing time. So just if you've never used a travel planner, now's the time. We really, really want to help you out. So drop by the Magic for Less, fill out that quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away. I promise you, you're going to have a good time. Cost you nothing extra either, and it's a fun experience. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Appreciate that so much. And if you want a little extra content in your day, drop by the Patreon. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, a little mini podcast every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. We have lots of conversations over there, sometimes little live drop-ins and stuff like that. So again, Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike, at BeOurGuestPod, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and check us out on YouTube, YouTube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here and wish you a wonderful weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with, again, the wrap to this trip with Mallory joining me, my little sidekick, my little traveler. And she did great. She did awesome. And we had so much fun, just her and I. It was the first time we got to travel together, just us, and had so much fun. So we'll talk about that on Monday. So until then, take care of yourself, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.